Hello, this is the FL72 podcast, Sam and Tom. If you missed the show this week, then this is why you're here, to download and listen to it. And Tom has promised for this week's podcast, because this is a first where we've actually got a sponsored advertisement to bring you, that he reckons he can do it and deliver it in a professional manner.
Professional manner, yes. This is it's Tom Connor from the FL72 podcast telling you you can get 8 incredible craft beers for only £14 with Beer 52. As a listener to one of our Radio Yorkshire podcasts, we've arranged an extra special.
You can insert podcast there. You can say you can make it sound a bit more exclusive to the FL72 listener.
As a listener to our FL72 podcast, we've arranged an extra special deal just for you. Beer 52 ship theme monthly boxes, if we could say the words, of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious, exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences. The award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack by using our code...
What's the code?
The code, by using our code, PROPER, all in capitals.
No, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Lowercase or in capitals, just in capitals to emphasise.
I'm reliably informed that proper at beer52.com. That's 8 exclusive hand-selected beer. This month, Sam, it's Norwegian craft beers. Very nice indeed. 100-page Ferment magazine, beer snack, free next-day delivery, so you're not going to wait either, and a flexible monthly subscription. All just £14 in your first month.
Excellent. Well done, Tom Carndorf. We can vouch for it because sent it out. Next day delivery. It arrived. It was ice cold and it was very, very tasty.
Very good.
So make sure beer52.com. We'll work on Tom for next week. But this is the podcast.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome to the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire. Sam and Tom with you for the next hour. We've kicked Bobby Beavers out. No more horse racing. Don't worry about that. All the big racing is over. We're talking about all the big football news across the Football League tonight. So we've got all the usual features. Tom is primed and ready with good days and bad days. He's even potentially got a new feature for this evening. We'll find a little more about that later. He looks shocked, but he's actually got one. We've got Yorkshire news, all the rest of the Football League news to tell you about as well, plus some transfer gossip too. We are back. Bobby Beavers is no more. The FL72 returns for the next hour. We're talking Leeds United, Huddersfield Town, and Sheffield Wednesday as a promotion mix hots up in the Championship. All that and more to come across the next 60 minutes. Good evening, welcome along to the FL72. We are live on DAB, Digital Radio, across West Yorkshire. Also online as well, radioyorkshire.co.uk. And also in vision as well on YouTube and Facebook. So you can go and see Tom's little cheeky face if you want to. And normally they do, the housewives en masse. They've fed the kids at 5. They've made sure they've done that. Then at 6, it's time to relax and look at Tom Carndorf's face. So, you all right, Tom?
Yeah, great. Yeah, especially after that little intro.
It's a big build-up.
It's good.
I'm giving you the big build-up today.
Good to be back.
Yeah, because
Bobby Beaver stole our hour from us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, well.
It was good. But,
yeah.
You know, I missed you, Tom.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks.
All the usual...
nice to start the show with a bit of sarcasm. That's very nice.
It's genuine sentiment from colleague to colleague.
Oh.
Don't quite clash you as a friend.
Build me up to shoot me right back down.
Anyway, yes, come and watch us on Facebook tonight. Get involved with the show whether you agree or disagree with some of the stuff we're coming out with. Normally, it's a lot of rubbish, in Tom's case, anyway. Tom, tell me about... we'll kick off with Yorkshire news, as we always
do.
And it's hotting up even more for our Yorkshire sides in the top six. An interesting weekend at the top. Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday both winning, and Huddersfield getting beat.
Yeah, they did.
I think for many Leeds fans, there was a bit of a, especially after the win against Preston, not many expected Wednesday to go and beat Newcastle, but what a fantastic result it was for them. Very good performance, very good second half performance as well from Wednesday. And again, those two teams just seem to be kind of matching each other's results. It's been a bit of a pattern in recent weeks. And yeah, a bit of a surprise slip-up for Huddersfield, fair to say. I think that all but ends their hopes for automatic promotion. I think just Brighton and Newcastle are too strong at the moment, but still fantastic season for them. They're probably going to finish third and secure a good position in the playoffs and what looks quite likely to be a Yorkshire derby in that semi-final.
Interesting at the moment. If you were a Huddersfield Town fan, would you maybe be a little concerned about consistency at the moment? Obviously, their position's fantastic. They've had a great season. But the last couple of weeks, it's been lose. It's been a win against Norwich. Mm. And then defeat at the weekend. In games, you wouldn't expect Huddersfield to be getting beaten. And the most concerning thing for me, just listen to David Wagner, and it's not been they've been beaten by a better team or you know they've played well. He's saying that they've not turned up on these two occasions.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Huddersfield, again, seem to be one of the, not one of the teams, but they seem to play better against the teams around them, the teams up there. The best performance probably from any team I've seen this season was probably Huddersfield when they beat Brighton at the John Smiths. They played well against Newcastle. I think the result doesn't necessarily reflect the game. They played very well in that one when they played him at home the other week. And you know, when they played Leeds as well, very good performances against the teams around them. The one thing that concerns me, and I think we could put Reading into that category now after the weekend, is they have been beaten quite heavily a couple of times this season. And if you take that into the playoffs, if say a similar result to Fulham away earlier in the season, where if that happens in the first leg, that's your tie done. You're 5-1 down, 5-0 down, whatever. I don't think it will, but it's just kind of concerning that there is that bit there. And like you said, the inconsistency as well. But if I was a Huddersfield fan, I'd be feeling full of confidence because they've got a very good team playing very good football. And of course, they're in a really good position in the league.
Yeah, for the Yorkshire Football Show yesterday, which is online now at radioyorkshire.co.uk. Go and watch the show on YouTube. I was looking at the third down to seventh. And the last 10 games and form. And Leeds United at the moment are top of that form table. 18 points in the last 10 games. Won 5, drawn 3, lost 2. Huddersfield have lost 4 of those games. They've won 5, drawn 1 of them. And again, just looking at that, gives them 16 points, which is you know still a very good tally. But the fact that they are win lose so much at the moment, it is concerning me a little bit.
Yeah, it's especially with Reading. I know I do expect Huddersfield to finish third, but Reading are only a point behind them now. They are creeping up. If Reading finish third, I don't know. I mean, they're getting the results. That's the main thing. But in terms of the football and entertainment value, they're probably bottom out of the teams that are currently in that four in the playoffs. You know, nothing against them. They're getting the results, but I just think for Huddersfield, there's, I don't know, if it stays, or say if Fulham come into it, you've got four teams there who don't really have recent playoff experience, really. So it's going to be a bit of a lottery, whereas Wednesday will come into it. If Huddersfield finish third, they're going to have to play Wednesday in sixth, who have been there, done it last season. Bit unlucky that they kind of didn't really turn up and play as well as they could have in the final. That's going to be tough over two legs against teams who've been there. Similar group of players, similar situation to last season. It's going to be a struggle. I think that's probably one of the main concerns for Huddersfield for me.
All season as well, it's been discussed. When Huddersfield were riding in terms of the form, it looked as if they were going to maybe challenge for second spot in the league. Obviously, that's pretty much gone now.
Yeah.
But always the concern was the goal difference. And looking at those teams, again, Reading now with a minus one goal difference following their hammering at the weekend. But Huddersfield's plus 4, Leeds plus 16, Sheffield Wednesday plus 12. Again, with Leeds, we know they've got Chris Wood, who scored bags and bags of goals. Huddersfield have spread it around a little bit more. A few injuries creeping in now. Again, is that a concern for you, or is that a positive now going into the last few weeks that they've got goals in different areas of the team potentially?
Yeah, I suppose so. When we look at Leeds and you say, well, if Chris Wood gets injured, they're in trouble. If Pontus Janssen gets suspended, they're in trouble. Whereas Huddersfield, they do have genuine quality, I think, all over the park. They're a really entertaining team to watch, and they've got the right players for the way they want to play. Not saying that, you know, Reading, Leeds and Wednesday don't, but I think they can probably rely on their bench a bit more than, for example, a Leeds, where, okay, they brought on, for example, Takara at the weekend, who got a goal. But if Wood gets injured, that's going to be a big problem. There's going to be a lot of panic there. There's going to be, you know, there's a reason why he's Championship top scorer and why Leeds are, you know, he's fired Leeds into the position he is. Whereas Huddersfield, I think, do genuinely have a couple of striking options. Again, comparing it to Leeds, I wouldn't trust Takara in Wood's position. And then off that, you've got Antonsen as well, who just can't really get onto the bench anymore, let alone within the team. So, yeah, I think it's probably more positive for Huddersfield that they do have the goals around the squad, but, you know, they're the lowest scorers out of any team up there. If Fulham come into it, they've just got more goals than, I think, they're the second or third highest scorers in the league this year. So if they come into it and they play Huddersfield in the semi-final, that could be a bit of a problem for them as well.
Yeah, joint second, Newcastle scored the most goals, 74. Fulham have 72, and Norwich,
yes,
again,
well, I wonder why, yeah.
At the weekend, very nicely for them. Looking at the teams and everything we've talked about, do you think Huddersfield will finish third? Obviously, they look bankers for it a few weeks ago, but now there is, well, 2 points in it between third and fifth, where Leeds sit on 72 points, Reading sandwiched in between on 73, so it's really tight. Sheffield Wednesday only 3 points behind Leeds, five behind Huddersfield Town. Did you see a bit more of a mix-up in those playoff positions in the running?
There's a bit of pressure on now, like I said, with the recent results, of course, three losses in the last five. There is going to be that pressure there, but equally as much there's pressure on Leeds and Wednesday. Now, I think it's fair to say, Huddersfield are going to make the playoffs. That's a certain now. Reading are probably going to make the playoffs now as well. I think there's just as much pressure on a kind of Leeds and Wednesday more than there is a Fulham. And I'm not too sure whether they want to finish third, because you've got to look at the semi-final. Would it be better probably to take fourth, play Leeds over two legs, who they've beaten twice this season, or would they rather play Sheffield Wednesday, who were in it last season, got to the final last season by beating Brighton over two legs, or Fulham, who, as we know, are a very good team, have put in some very good performances, score a lot of goals as well. I don't know if they'd maybe want to finish third. You'd look at that and say you probably fancy their chances against Leeds, I think, a bit more than Wednesday or Fulham. I don't know if... I think they will, but I don't know if they'd want to be there.
I think still Sheffield Wednesday are the team, should they make the playoffs, that everyone's got a fear, as you said before, of them all, have the experience of last season behind them. They've strengthened. They've got a lot of big game players, you would say, even though the form's not been great over the last 10 games, but they seem to be coming to a little bit more now. Sheffield Wednesday, and interestingly, at the weekend, they of course did a great win against Newcastle, and Carlos Carvajal coming out and saying that he felt the pressure was completely off his players. And I suppose that's one of the things you can't really say too much about Sheffield Wednesday this season. Seems to be they've obviously been fancied by many people, and maybe they've carried that burden a bit too much throughout the season.
I think because of just how good and how, not overachieved, but how they did a lot better than a lot of people expected last season. I think they were very unlucky, like I said, not to go up. You fancied them going into that final against Hull. I just don't think they played as well as we knew that they could. But I think the pressure was off in terms of Saturday. I imagine there's probably a bit more pressure on Newcastle with Brighton getting wins. Newcastle have slipped up a bit in the past few weeks, so there was probably more pressure on them. But yeah, I don't think he can say that there's no pressure on them whatsoever, because if they don't make the playoffs, I don't necessarily know if it'd be the right decision, but you'd fear that they'd probably look elsewhere from Carlos after 2 years of not getting promotion or being there and thereabouts and not achieving it. So I think it's a bit brave to come out and say that there's no pressure on them, because there's got to be. There's pressure on every team, really, in the playoffs now, or even in the top seven. There's everyone in that top seven has got pressure on them for different reasons. So, yeah, I wouldn't agree that they've got no pressure on them whatsoever. I think they're probably the team who are under the most pressure because they're in that last playoff spot, which Fulham are chasing them for. They've got to make sure they stay in it, and people are going to be looking at them to get the results in order to keep that sixth place.
Let's look at the playoff contenders. I'll chuck Fulham in there as well, in seventh position. Let's have just a quick look at their run-ins now. Huddersfield have one extra game to play.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got six left. Friday, home against Preston. Then they go away to Derby on Monday, which is a televised game at 5 o'clock. Then they host Fulham. They go away to Wolves. They go away to Birmingham. And then it's Cardiff on the final day of the season. Is that decent for you, or are there a few more banana skins there for
them? It is pretty difficult on the run-in. Wolves, okay, take away that result at the weekend, the loss against Bristol City, who are obviously fighting for survival. They went on a great run there. Cardiff just looked different under Neil Warnock. They can get the results out. I think they'd be looking for the win against Preston. I think that defeat against Leeds has pretty much all but ended Preston's season, so I'm not quite sure what mentality they'll have now, just trying to finish, I suppose, as high or as close to the playoffs as they can. So I think it's a difficult run-in. I think with the pressure on them as well, that teams are chasing them down, okay, maybe there's not the pressure that, I don't know, of course I think until it's mathematically impossible, they'll still be looking at that top two, but it's going to be a difficult ask now. So, difficult run-in. A difficult run-in, especially with Reading and Leeds having touch and distance and probably wanting their place to finish as high as possible.
For Leeds, it's Newcastle, obviously, away Friday night again on TV. We've got then at home against Wolves on Easter Monday, then away against Burton, home to Norwich in the final home game of the season, then final day away at Wigan. So you've got a couple of teams there in Burton and Wigan who are down at the bottom. I'm sure Wigan will be long relegated by then.
Yeah, I think the Friday game is going to be very interesting. And I know Newcastle, I think a lot of people are expecting them to win, but for Newcastle, they're out of those teams in the top six, top seven, they have probably the worst record, I think, of all the teams at home. They do slip up. Teams can get a victory there. It's not unbeatable. And I think that'll kind of set the tone if they can get something at Newcastle going into that game against Wolves, going into the rest of the season, where I think after that, it's not as difficult as it could have been. I think they've hit a bit of the rough patch already. They've played some tough teams. I don't know. I think probably you'd prefer Leeds' run into Huddersfield's. I think purely just because on the teams that they're playing, the time they're playing them, etc. But again, much like Huddersfield, they've got pressure for their own reason. They're going to be wanting to stay in the playoffs because, again, like the worry was settling in last week or coming in a bit last week. If they do get a loss and Fulham and Sheffield Wednesday get a win, they're in a similar situation where they're, 2 points off dropping out of the playoffs. So there's always going to be pressure, but a decent enough run-in for them to achieve at least a playoff position.
There's some interesting in games. The likes of Wolves, who are improving under a new manager, Norwich have turned a little bit of a corner as well, going back to Reading as well. Have got to play Nottingham Forest again, starting to improve a little bit under a new manager as well. There's quite a lot of teams down the bottom end of the Championship who on paper don't have much to play for, but they're given the vast amount of managerial changes we've got. All these guys are starting to put their own ideas in place and getting better results.
Yeah, and I said this before, I think it's the same again, where it's probably harder to play teams at the bottom end of the Championship than it is at the top at the moment, because you mentioned Forest there. They're 6 points clear of, or 5 points clear of relegation, but one Blackburn win, they're well back into it. They're only 2 points off. And you're expecting teams at the top to win. You're not expecting the teams at the bottom to win. So in that way, there's more pressure on the teams in the relegation zone that if they lose and another team around them has won, it's going to cause serious consequences. So I'd be preferring not to have to play the likes of, you know, you never know with Wigan. They could still be in with something by the time Leeds come to play them. You never know. Any Forests, etc. I think they're the teams you're probably going to be wanting to avoid and not wanting to play.
Villa are another team that are improving fast. And they're Reading's next opponents on Saturday.
Yes.
Reading going away to Aston Villa, who are in very good form at the moment. They drew their last game against Burton, but before that, four straight victories. They beat Sheffield Wednesday, they beat Wigan, they beat Norwich, and they beat QPR as well, who were also in decent-ish form at that time. Do you think they'll reel from that defeat against Norwich, or do you think Yapstam will be able to get them back at it? Which way do you think it's going to go?
I think Yapstam's the type of manager who's, let's put it, not going to be the happiest at the result. I think obviously it's going to give them a bit of a boost, but you don't want to be losing 7-1 at any time in the season, let alone being a team sitting in fourth going for a promotion. It's embarrassing to be 6-1 down at half time as well. It's just phenomenal. And like I said, Villa, really good form. For them, they're going to want to be close to the playoffs at least. It's not been a great season. I'm sure the expectation would have been playoffs minimum, challenge for promotion. So if they can go, okay, it's not been great, but we finished eighth, for example, only a couple of places off, something to build on for next year. They don't want to be finishing in mid-table. And they're going to be looking at games like Reading's. Well, they've just lost 7-1. We're playing them next. We're hosting them next. This could be a good chance for 3 points and to kind of aid our push up the table. So, difficult. It's going to be a difficult one, and it may be a boost, but they shouldn't be losing 7-1 in the first place.
Now, the rest of Reading's running, obviously, Villa at the weekend. On Saturday, that one, when most of the games are on Friday, according to the fixture in front of me anyway. Then it's Rotherham at home.
Win. They've got to win at some point, though.
Well,
they've got to win at some point.
Yeah, and 3-2 at the
maybe,
weekend,
hopefully,
against Wigan. So maybe, you know, get that pressure. The pressure's long been off. Let's face it.
Yeah,
but sometimes it does work in that way. When the relegation is confirmed, teams do tend to have a little bit of a pick up. And they now know as well, Rotherham. We'll get to them in a few moments' time. But they now know who their manager is going to
yes.
be. So again,
yeah.
Fighting for futures even more so. They're not expecting a new guy to walk through the door in the summer anymore. And then it's Forest away. Then they host Wigan, and then they go to Burton on the final day of the season, Reading.
I'd, in a way, prefer to have Newcastle, Huddersfield and Wednesday, for example, because, like we said, you're playing Burton, you're playing Forest. They're teams that are fighting for survival. They're going to be doing they're going to throw absolutely everything at you because they've got nothing to lose now. They've got nothing to lose. They're in a dangerous position as it is. They need to get the results. It's probably the worst time to play them. Like I just said, I think I'd prefer to play the teams at the top than the teams at the bottom, so on paper, it looks a good running, but with the circumstances and the time they're coming around to playing them, I don't think it's going to be as easy as the table suggests.
Yeah, do you think the relegation, battle for relegation will go that long to the last couple of games? Blackburn now 4 points adrift from safety.
Yeah.
Bristol City, the side just above the relegation places. Burton then a point ahead of them. So there's a five-point gap for Burton at the moment. Blackburn go to Nottingham Forest next. Then they host Bristol City. Then they go to Wolves. Then they host Villa. And then they're away at Brentford on the final day of the season. So some tricky-ish games there against the likes of Forest, Bristol City and Wolves, who have improved as well. And as we just talked about, Villa's form at the moment. So do you think Blackburn could be down by before the end of the month, by the 22nd in the next three games?
I think this weekend's going to be make or break playing Forest. If they can get a win there, mathematically they're within, you know, 2 points or whatever of Forest. They're within touching distance. It's, of course, going to drag more teams back into it. I think that's what it's going to be. I know it sounds silly with a mathematic kind of side of it and the numbers and points, etc., but you're going to have to look over the next 2 weeks. If they can get a win against Forest, then definitely. Same with Wigan, they've got Barnsley, okay, been in good, you know, okay form, but if they can get something there, you know, ideally a win, then it really throws it wide open. I think losses this weekend, you're asking for too much in such a short space of time, where Bristol City, of course, they've got QPR at home. If they can get something, a point.
And then if they beat Blackburn, if they could beat QPR and then beat Blackburn,
that pretty much secures
their safety. And then it's only Burton, really, who probably another win for them, and they'd sink Blackburn.
I just think if Blackburn lose this weekend against Forest and, say, Bristol City get anything against QPR, you're looking at least a five-point gap, a five-point swing in just four games. It just seems a bit... It's not impossible, but it just seems too much when you're relying on Bristol City to lose their last four games and you to get something out of them. It just seems to be a bit too much of an ask. So I think this weekend's obviously going to be a bit of a make or break, especially with most teams having the two games on Friday and Monday.
And then just lastly, obviously Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
They're running Cardiff at the weekend on Friday. Then they go to QPR. Then it's Derby at home and then away at Ipswich, your man Mick McCarthy. And then, of course, the scheduler doing a fine job for the final day of the season. Sheffield
Fulham.
Wednesday, Fulham. Fulham's run-in is Norwich away on Friday, then home against Villa, away at Huddersfield, home against Brentford, and then that game against Sheffield Wednesday. Do you think that is going to be a straight shootout on the final day for the playoff spot?
I hope so, from a neutral point, because I think that'll be brilliant. You know, for a team in the playoff, you're going to have to play one or the other. Now, that's pretty clear. You've got different circumstances we've already spoke about. And Wednesday, the experienced team in there, came close last season. Fulham are the team that play very good football, probably one of the best teams I've seen this season. You know, you're going to have to play one of them. So I think purely for trying to, kind of, as silly as it sounds, sell the league a bit, make it more dramatic, make it more interesting. If it does come to the final day, and it is literally a winner-take-all situation, I think that'll be very entertaining and probably the best way to sell it, I think, for obviously watching from the outside in.
Who gets it? I can change your mind next week.
Yeah, I could change when we were two games down. Nothing against Wednesday, I just think Fulham. Just from watching Fulham and some of the football they've been playing, I don't know, Wednesday just hit a bit too inconsistent. Mm.
You want to see Fulham in there, the wild card, a bit like Sheffield Wednesday were last season. People wanted to see him in the playoffs because you knew they were just going to go for it. And if it is Huddersfield against Fulham, there could be a lot of goals.
That could be a very, very entertaining semi-final. I think Fulham, purely because then, like I said, you've got four teams that don't really have recent playoff experience with this group of players. Of course, Huddersfield and Fulham, the two entertaining sides. Reading, say what we want about the style of football, but they get the results. That's the main thing. And, you know, Leeds Reading have been two good matchups this season, so that could be another good semi-final. So maybe Fulham coming into it will make it a bit more interesting than a Wednesday. Nothing against them, but we've kind of seen them last season. We'll have four new teams here going for it.
Indeed, a fascinating couple of games ahead of the Easter period. At the weekend, Leeds United got back to winning ways, beating Simon Grayson's Preston at Elland Road. And after the game, Gary Monk spoke to our man, Mark Wilson.
Gary, you must be absolutely delighted. Just what you needed, just what the boys needed.
Yeah, really important to respond. Today we were determined to respond after those back-to-back defeats away from home. And that was the key today. We spoke to the group this week after the Tuesday game and just felt what was important for this group is when they're fully focused on showing what they're capable of, that's when they deliver their best performances. And I just felt in the games earlier in the week, there was a lot of talk going on about league positions and these points and this would mean this and this would mean that. And I get it, I understand. We're fully aware where we are in the league, but and the key to this group is them focusing on always showing what they're capable of. If they stay focused on that, they always give themselves the best chance of winning games. And today they were fully focused on performing. And of course the 3 points is important, but focusing on performing and showing what they're capable of. And they did that today.
A couple of scares early on. Was it hurting you?
Yeah, the first 5-10 minutes. They had a couple of breakaways, which could have been more dangerous. But once we got to grips with that. I think for that next probably 50, 60 minutes, we showed some really good football and we created numerous chances where we probably should have capitalised a little bit more. But we're playing against a good side that are in form. It was never going to make it easy for us. So, but some of the football that we played today, I thought was excellent and we looked very dangerous. Ultimately, kept keeping the clean sheet and the three goals, 3 points, which is a really good performance.
Back to the young guys in midfield, Vieira and Phillips. Was it a conscious effort to play further up the field? Because it seems you were playing further up the field, taking the game to them.
Yeah, I just think those two showed me a really good response after Tuesday in training this week. Like I said, I trust all my players, even though they're young boys, still learning their game. I thought they were excellent today. They typified what the team were today. And like I said, we focused on trying to show what we're capable of, what we've been doing most of the season, for the majority of the season, exactly how capable this group can be and what their potential is, and we showed that today.
And the three in behind Chris Wood today, all effective in their own way, and great to see Kamar Roof getting a goal again.
Yeah, and it was getting back to giving them the belief to express themselves. You know, sometimes at this stage of the season, you know, you can get a little bit uptight, or you can, you know, not focus too much on expressing yourself. But we did both defensively and offensively today. We were excellent. Yeah, just really pleased for the players. They responded so well this week, and there was a lot of noise going on around outside. But they responded really well after Brentford. All week they've been excellent, and I knew today we were going to get a performance. I just felt it within the group, and because they were focused on delivering a performance, you know, what they're capable of, and that led to the victory.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back. It's Sam and Tom with the FL 72 until 7. Tom Maguire comes with the evening show from 7. Lots of great tunes across the 3 hours until David Bolton is here at 10 o'clock with Yorkshire Knights. Still half an hour of straight football chat, though, for you here on the FL 72. And Tom, let's just round off more of our Yorkshire chat. We will get to our promoted sides in a few moments time, but I just want to finish off with the Championship. And since obviously Bobby Beavers was here last week with
more
horsey stuff, and
so that's a technical term.
Rotherham have since we were last on air, they've been relegated. You missing them already?
Yeah, missed it. Well, I said before we come on air at 6, I go on with Andy Lawson on an afternoon just to give a little preview on the show. And, you know, they were relegated when Alan Stubbs got the job, really. They were relegated in June. Yeah, I don't know. The one thing I can say is go online and find this clip that's gone viral of Rotherham v Wigan at the weekend. It's just awful football where someone gets through, open goal, and they miss it, and it kind of shows why both teams are going down. But yeah, on a serious note, at least they've given Paul Warne the job for next season.
That's a good move.
I think it's quite an easy get out to blame Warne when I think there's probably deeper problems within
it. Blaming what for this?
For the situation they're in, because I think
then no one's blaming Paul Warne, surely.
I've seen a few Rotherham fans basically saying that, oh, why are we giving it Warne? Well, I think the problems are deeper than Warne. I honestly don't know who else is going to want it. Who will want the Rotherham job, really? And I think it's good that he's going to have a year in League One. They're going to have to rebuild. So whether they've seen him as a man who's good to overlook a rebuild, they've signed too many players in the summer as well, a lot of which just aren't being used. They need to really have a proper overhaul, a proper rebuild. And I think he's going to be quite a good man to do so, because unless you're going to get a manager in and go, right, here's 3 years, which you don't get nowadays, then they're going to have to kind of, you know, settle for, they may have to have a bad year in League One as well. Well, they'll probably stay up, but they're going to have to get rid of players and restructure and just completely redo it if they're going to come back up stronger.
With Paul Warne, obviously he's said quite a few times, I don't want the job, I'm just here because I love the club and you know, I'm doing everyone a favour at the moment and keeping things ticking over. When someone's said that quite a few times, why do you think then they convince him to take the job? Or do you think Derek was saying on the Yorkshire Football Show yesterday that maybe he thinks that Paul Warne feels almost obliged to take the job?
I suppose for someone who loves the club, you're going to ask, what's the situation going to be if I don't take it? Who are they going to end up with? really, just who...
Tell you they're going to end up with. I can't believe he's not got the job, because he's managed Barnsley, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley twice, in fact, Sheffield United, Chesterfield, which isn't that far away, Danny Wilson.
Yeah.
He's not landed there yet.
Yeah, there we go then. So maybe he wanted to save the club from Danny Wilson. I don't know. But, yeah, maybe it's that he does feel kind of obliged. And at the end of the day, he's been there this season. Well, half a season. He's been around the club for a bit longer as well. Maybe that, I don't know, that he's there. They can say, look, you know, you can have a real go at it. It's, you know, an actual gig in management, a season in management. It's going to be a bit easier for them in League One, I suppose, where, you know, still good teams in there, but they're not having to travel to play Newcastle and Brighton, for example. They're not going to have to face Sunderland, etc., coming down from the Premier League. It's going to be a good chance to rebuild and kind of make that team his own. And, you know, I think when he gets players that maybe he wants there and playing a way that he wants to, then it, you know, it could end up in something good. I just think this season's been just a write-off. I think it was just kind of a case of, we need someone to manage. Here you go, just do it until the end of the season. And I think that's just kind of what it's been at the moment.
Yeah, do you think... obviously, Alan Stubbs signed a lot of players.
Yes.
The change in the club over the last year has been huge, really. Do you think he's going to be able to do that in one summer? I think it is going to be a longer-term job. Do Rotherham almost write off any promotion hopes for next season?
I don't think you can ever write off promotion hopes, really. We've seen multiple times. You look at Huddersfield this season, nobody would have fancied them for promotion apart from
me.
Us. Well, you know what I mean, in terms of the bookies, etc., the favourites, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but there was a pattern there, because you'd seen David Bradley come in and start to bring the players in and small changes, even though they weren't getting the right results. Mm. So you could see that, but whereas as Rotherham, just looking at when they last even picked up a point, which was it was actually against Blackburn. And that was February the 11th. They've lost every game since that.
Owen's gift to them.
And before that, they last won a game in January. They beat Norwich, in fact, 14th of January. One game all calendar year they've won. They picked up 4 points.
But that's the thing, though.
In 2017.
Warren's their third manager. They've had... This is essentially Alan Stubbs' team, because Kenny Jackett came in, had a... You know, obviously something happened there that made him go, yeah, I'm not staying around, see you later. And Warren's got to kind of left to pick up the pieces a bit to it all, that, you know, that we can judge him on this season, but we just don't know what the summer's going to bring. Okay, the transfer budget's not going to be massive, but then he might be able to bring in his own type of players that he'll want. He could implement a good style of football with those type of players that maybe we haven't seen this season because we can't see because of the team that he's got. So I'm not saying that I fancy them for promotion. I think, you know, it's going to be a bit of a tough year, but I wouldn't say that you can completely write it off and then they're not going to get there, because you just don't know what one can do with his team, with his players.
Now let's talk about happier times.
Yes.
In League One, of course, Sheffield United clinching promotion, a fantastic season for them. Chris Wilder coming in at the start of the campaign. Sheffield United through and through and...
excuse me.
Not a fan of Chris Wilder, obviously, but 80 goals scored, plus 35 goal difference, 16 points clearer of third, 9 away from second, champions incumbent. It's been a top, top season.
Been very good season. Again, Wilder, you know, he's take the credit for that. He's come in on the back of getting Northampton promoted. A tough job, really. Sheffield United in League One, they've come so close. They've really struggled to get... anywhere near promotion,
it's
really.
It's been a slog.
And he's managed to do it in good fashion as well. Of course, Billy Sharp taking a lot of the plaudits. But some of the signings, you're looking at John Fleck as well, he's been outstanding. He's been fantastic for them. And, you know, I don't like to use this, oh, well, they're a big club, so blah, blah, blah. But they are a big club. They're a club that should really be in the Championship, and they've got a manager and a team that fits that club in Sheffield United. So... you know, I'm looking forward to seeing them next season in the Championship, to see how they do. And from a neutral aspect. Hopefully we'll get a Steel City derby as well. That should be very, very entertaining indeed. So yeah, it's good to see them finally come back up, and it's quite exciting for them a bit as well, where I don't know where they're going to come next season, where you just, you know, I don't think they're going to be fighting out in relegation. I think they can really kick on it and push up a bit.
And for Doncaster as well, promotion, the first attempt for them, Darren Ferguson, yes, their manager of the year as well, the EFL Awards at the weekend, again, a fantastic season, 18 points clear of fourth place, 84 points on the board. They've been top for a few months now,
yeah,
and really gone clear. And again, look good for going on and winning the championship, hopefully. And again, you said about Sheffield United, you don't know where they're going to finish. You don't think they're going to be fighting out relegation. Can you say the same for Donny? You think they're going to go back into League One and push top half of the table, playoff push maybe?
Yeah, definitely. It's great that they've dropped down and had a proper bit of a kind of rebuild at it and gone straight back up. They've got a lot of momentum. It's not like they've just scraped promotion, they've done it convincingly, and that's always going to help going into the division above. Of course, last time they were there, it wasn't as happy times, it wasn't as good, and you wouldn't imagine it's going to be the same this time round. I do think League One is going to be tough again next year, especially when someone, you know, you're going to have some good teams that aren't going to go up. When you're looking at the teams that are up there, Sheffield United, Bolton, Fleetwood, Scunthorpe, Bradford, Millwall, they're all going to be out. Peterborough, maybe, you know, can kick on, Rochdale, etc. So it's going to be tough for them, but you'd fancy them to give it a good go and try and push towards that top of the, or that top end and the right end of the table this time round.
Yeah, which brings us nicely onto Dave Nash, who's been in touch on Facebook. He says, Bolton, far better than Bradford, come on the Wanderers. Rotherham will struggle again in League One, the best it's ever been. Obviously, Bolton look like they're going to take that second spot behind Sheffield United in the promotion race. Is that done and dusted for you? Do you think Bolton going up alongside Sheffield United, or is there more twists in the tail?
I think it all depends on Uwe Rosler and Fleetwood and what actually goes on there, because I know the Norwich position seems locked down, but the talk keeps going back to if Rosler's going to be there, and they're hoping that he can stay. But Bolton, very good side. Seen them play a couple of times this season, doing very well. The gap just seems a bit too much at the moment. I think it's, what, 6-7 points that they are clear of Fleetwood in third. A team like that, okay, they slipped up at the weekend, but you can't imagine them throwing that away. Very good team. And again, much like Doncaster have done, much like Sheffield United, I suppose, have done this season, they've really built a good team. And that momentum's going to help them this time round going into the Championship, where hopefully they can stay clear of relegation this time and make a good effort out of it alongside United, the team they go up with.
Do you think that Bradford, you mentioned Fleetwood, do you think Bradford can challenge second? They're on the same amount of points.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, just with the gap and the games left, there's only, what, 12 points left to play for, and you need a 7-8 point swing within that. It's going to be a big ask. But Bradford is looking like playoffs, but they're going to be in a very good position for playoffs, especially if it stays as it is. Scunthorpe over two legs. It was a very entertaining game when they played each other the other week. Should make a great two-legged tie, and if they can get to Wembley, then, you know, anything can happen. They're a very good team, play some good football. It'd be nice to see them come up from a Yorkshire aspect, yeah, as well, with Sheffield United. It'll make a very good league next season.
Yeah, and indeed, if Bolton do go up as well across the M62, some nice, yes, tasty local derbies.
It'll be very good league next year
in the Championship. For Bradford, do you fancy them in the playoffs? Because only lost six times all season, which is the matches Sheffield United's record for defeats. Obviously, we know the amount of games they've drawn,
yeah,
but since January and they added the likes of Wyke and Jones to the squad, the goals have started to come, and they've actually started to really finish teams off and are winning a lot more games now.
Yeah, definitely. And I know we mentioned draws, but like you said, if they're not losing games, they've got every chance, as silly as it sounds. They do score a lot of goals. They concede very little as well. You compare it to, for example, a Scunthorpe, a Millwall, who've conceded 11, 12 more goals than them. It's really going to come into play in the playoffs, and I think they are going to be a very strong contender, especially over two legs. The Scunthorpe game the other week, very good. Okay, they didn't, you know, they did end up on the wrong side of the scoreline, but they put in a very good performance, especially first half, taking that early 2-1 lead. If they can get something away, you'd fancy them to beat anyone really at Valley Parade, especially anyone kind of within the other three teams there. So yeah, it's going to be quite exciting, and I would probably fancy Bradford to seal promotion come May. I'm trying to think of an exact date, but I can't. But come the end of May, I'll put it on that when it comes to the playoff final.
It's a little earlier than League One, wasn't it? It's the week before League One. It's the week before the Championship.
A bit different, isn't it, this year?
The weekend of the 20th, something like that.
Hopefully, I'm sure Bradford fans should have it really circled, because I'd imagine that they'd probably be there playing.
Fingers crossed. We shall take a break on the FL 72. Still lots to come on the show. We're going to do Tom's original feature, Good Days, Bad Days. We've got some transfer gossip as well, and we'll talk more FL 72 in a few moments' time.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72. We are live on YouTube and Facebook as well, of course, on DAB Digital Radio across West Yorkshire, online at radioyorkshire.co.uk and via the TuneIn Radio app as well. We'll talk more Football League news now. I've just put this question out on Facebook. Tom, clubs are going to vote on the Chequered Trade Trophy.
They are.
And they get the opportunity to not only change the rules, but decide whether they just want to can it and get rid of it.
Yeah, it's they put a statement out earlier on today, the EFL, and they're going to ask the teams to vote on it. This involves a whole range of things, from the concerns regarding that full strength team policy, what qualifies it. They're going to look at excluding goalkeepers from it, reducing the number to four, increasing prize money, regionalisation, etc. But then they're, as a result of the discussion and subsequent debate, clubs will now be asked to vote on the following. So a revised format including 16 invited teams, which suggests to me under-23s, B team, etc. Return to the previous 48-team competition exclusive to League 1 and 2, or remove the competition from the fixture calendar. So it really is kind of extremes, really, I think. I'm not sure what teams will want to do, whether they will want to go back to the original Johnson's Paint Trophy format of 48 teams, just League 1, just League 2. I'm not sure where teams are going to want to go on this one.
Do you think it serves a purpose for some teams, or obviously in League 1 and League 2 squads don't have as much depth, so I think it's a bit of a bind, a bit of a pain?
I think if they do just make it exclusive to League 1 and League 2, I think it's fair to drop the first team criteria quota that they're on about, because like I said, they've not got massive squads. The league is important, but I think it was Darren McAntony, the Peterborough chairman, that used the phrase of it being kind of like an FA Cup final for League 1 and League 2 teams. It's exactly that. It's a day out at Wembley, trip to Wembley, because let's be honest, apart from the rare occasions like Bradford, Millwall spring to mind, where a League 1 and a League 2 team are going to get to Wembley, it doesn't really happen that often, so it's good for them to have that experience. No, but
Coventry took 43,000
fans.
Yeah,
exactly. So there's something about it, and you can say what you want about the competition, but a day out of Wembley, to watch your team play at Wembley and compete for a trophy, regardless of what it is, you're going to go. You're going to want to watch your team. So I think, not sure about getting rid of it completely, but you know, I think it does need a revamp, because just teams aren't interested in watching their side play a Premier League B team or a Championship B team on a Tuesday night. I just don't see why it's going to appeal to fans. So whether you go back to it being an exclusive League 1 and League 2 competition, you know, I think that may be the way forward to kind of go back. It's a difficult one, because the popularity of the competition is not there, but I just don't think they should get rid of it completely and let it go.
With the amount of full-time teams in the conference now,
yeah,
The conference teams should be in it, make it League 1-2 conference.
Could be. That could be an interesting one. Of course, then you're looking at getting rid of the Football League part of it. But yeah, that could
be.
You're
doing that when you're inviting 16 under-23 teams
exactly.
In the Premier League and Championship.
Exactly. So yeah, that could be a potential way forward for it. I think with the competitiveness of some of those National League teams anyway, you look at Lincoln this season, you expect them to come up and do all right in League 2 next year. Yeah, that could be, you know, if they're looking at trialling it, then maybe that could be a way to go. But judging by the press release, I don't think it's going to be something they consider unless the 16 invited teams come from underneath as well as above.
Do you think it's going to survive?
I think if they tinker around with it too much, I think there's probably just going to get to a point where teams and clubs are going to go, let's just get rid of it. Because, you know, if they change it again this year, okay, I can understand it a bit. But if we're four seasons' time going, oh, we're voting on more changes, surely teams are just going to go, look, we're playing around with it too much, let's just get rid of it and, you know, find something else and kind of move on into the future. So, yeah, I don't know.
Let us know what you think on Twitter and Facebook. Elsewhere, the EFL had their Player of the Year, Team of the Year, etc. awards ceremony. Anthony Knockhart to the Championship Player of the Year. Is that the right choice for you?
I'd say so, yeah. I know, taking the Leeds fan aspect out of me and with Chris Wood up for it. Knockhart, just fantastic player. He, no matter who he's with, whether it be Leicester, Brighton, you know, he's fantastic in this division, and he's a large part of why Brighton are where they are. He can just really pull something out of nothing. That's kind of the type of player he is, and that's why I enjoy watching him, and that's why he's, you know, Championship Player of the Season. So, yeah, right decision, a real talent, and hopefully he can be a big part of that Brighton Premier League team when, I'm going to say, they go up now.
Hmm. Yeah, 100% going up. Hopefully, I'd like to see him be champions. I'd love to see Brighton go up as champions, given the way they've played over the last two seasons now in the Championship. A couple of we mentioned Uwe Rosler before.
Yes.
Fleetwood hoping he will stay until the end of the season. This Norwich link keeps resurfacing. Also, you have given us an interesting fact. Gary Rowett has won more games in 8 days than Birmingham have in the time since he was sacked ruthlessly. Gianfranco Zola, they've had to come out and put a statement out about his future this week. For different reasons, do you think Uwe Rosler and Zola will be in their jobs by the end of the season?
I'd like to see Rosler stay, because Fleetwood are onto something amazing so far this season. Just go to the end of the season, whether they go up and they have to find another manager or not, it's still good to have on your CV that you pretty much got promoted. Zola was just a terrible decision, but they had Rowett there, who's doing a fantastic job, and that shows in that stat with Tom Ince's 91st minute winner has basically given Rowett more wins in 8-9 days than Birmingham have had in the months that he's left. They've only won 2 games since Rowett went in the league. You can't see him staying past the summer. You know, we can talk about managers having a proper season to themselves and building things the way they want to. I just don't think it's worked out. It'd be a bit of a surprise if they keep him on after the season they've had. They've just absolutely nosedived down the league. It's not been great, and they're going to have to be forced to look elsewhere, despite the fact they had a perfectly good manager in the first place.
Indeed. And Mike Phelan, reportedly going to be the boss of Wigan next season. He's been linked with his job in the past. Yeah. Obviously was at Hull earlier in the season. Didn't necessarily get a fair crack of the whip, did okay with Hull in the difficult circumstances. Do you think he'd be decent at Wigan?
I think if they drop down, then yeah. He's had Premier League experience. I don't know why they keep looking at former Man United employees / coaches as their way forward, but could be a good appointment for him. I think it'd be good for him as well if they are in League One. That it kind of worked out with Caldwell, where there were questions about his appointment, but it could be a good experience if he does get Wigan back up into the Championship season after next. I was trying to work out the maths. I'm trying to add 2 seasons together consecutively, but yeah, it could be a good move. Could be a good move for him.
Did well, yeah, he loved the commute. Burnley lad. Not far. Right, let's do this. We promised to launch Tom Condos' new feature next week, and it's going to be where Tom does some investigative journalism.
It's like a Chris Morris Brass Eye-esque type, I don't know.
Thing. We're trying to get some names together. So if you want to tweet us or Facebook us some
Who
names
would you like
on the
to
next
see me
week,
interview?
I'm thinking Tom Condos in deep. football matters with Tom Carndough.
We have dramatic music. Yeah, this is
more
happening.
More than football.
Dun, dun,
with
dun.
Tom Carndough.
There we go.
Could be good. We need to conclude Good Days, Bad Days quite quickly because the end of the show and the news is on its way.
Good
hopefully
stuff.
We can get a couple of transfer headlines as well. So, Good Days, Bad Days for this week. Tom, off you go.
Championship, good day for Norwich. They absolutely hammered Reading 7-1. Bad day for Reading. They were absolutely hammered by Norwich 7-1 into League One. Sheffield United, of course, finally secured promotion to the Championship. And it was a bad day for Port Vale. They lost out to relegation rivals Chesterfield. They're in the relegation zone now. And of course, Chesterfield side that just don't win football games, like, ever. So that was a bit of a surprise. And in League 2, it was a good day for Doncaster. Again, they're up, secured promotion to League 1. And bad day for Leyton Orient. Looks all but over for them as they are now 10 points adrift of safety. A lot of talk about the club situation as well. So, good days, bad days for this week.
Tom, that was excellent. And we can end this feature now.
From Wednesday to United, the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Oh, do you know what we can do as well? We can go quick fire transfer gossip. We've got 60 seconds on the show left. Tom, what's happening transfer-wise?
Liverpool become the third Premier League team to show interest in Fulham youngster Ryan Sessegnon. Of course, left-back, only 16, 17 years of age. Phenomenal talent. Of course, Man City and Tottenham also on the radar. Unsurprising. He's a fantastic player. When I first saw him at Elland Road last season, he was brilliant. Sunderland preparing for life in the Championship because they are definitely getting relegated and want to add Barnsley's Mark Roberts to their squad. When they get relegated. And Premier League side West Ham set to bid for former Blackburn striker Anthony Modeste. I don't know how to pronounce this. Currently at FC Cologne in the Bundesliga. Transfer news.
Excellent, Tom. Thank you very much for that casual transfer. Even though
same
we only had 60
week.
Seconds left of the show, which pretty much leaves me to say that Tom Maguire is next with the evening show. And on the way is the news at 7. Thanks for listening.